God of the promise, God of the future, you see beginning and end. God of the rescue, God of the breakthrough, how great is your faithfulness. You're not done yet. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no one could ever comprehend. Your word will be enough, your promise we will trust. God in my seeking, God in my dreaming, you put a song in my soul. God in the working, God I'm believing, you'll do the impossible. God, let your glory come down. Don't hold back, don't hold back. You're up to something right now. You're doing a new thing right now. God, let your glory come down. Don't hold back, don't hold back. You're moving mountains right now.
Serve a God who is not done yet, just like the scripture reminds us that he is doing a good work in us. Even when we can't see it, even when we don't feel it, the Lord is at work and he will bring to completion those good things in our lives. Psalm 27:4 says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And I just love that. It reminds us that there's so much joy in the presence of the Lord. There's so much joy as we gather as a church. The Lord is here with us this morning. So let's continue in worship as we sing together.
He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Who saves? We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross and he rose up from that grave. My God's still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We were forgiven. Redeemed by his grace, let the house of the Lord sing praise. Again. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. There is joy in the house today. Standing on
Let's pray together.
Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we've come to worship you today. We come and worship because it's our honest expression of our love back to you. Oh, we know that you chose us first. You spoke to us first in your spirit and through your word. And through the yearning of our soul, the heartache, the challenge mentally. For we're happy that we don't live this life alone. But you're always with us. You're always leading us. You're empowering us. And perhaps your greatest gift of love towards us is that you forgive us for our wrongdoing. As we get upon your path, our goal is to trust you and obey you as we move forward. And yes, it is confusing and troubling at this time. Yet you're a God for all of life, all seasons of life. You're a God who is aware of everything that is going on this planet all at the same time. Allow us to feel your spirit, trust your word. Gather in the fellowship of those around us. We do pray for leaders in our world, in our country, our state, and our community. Lord, we once again pray for frontline workers as they've had to double down in this time. And Lord, people are weary. People are saddened. Be with those that have lost loved ones. We're thankful for the opportunity to make a difference in a positive way. We're thankful to welcome to their new homes, America, those from Afghanistan. Lord, through World Outreach, we want to support and encourage and welcome all those who come. Lord, on our home front, you're making a difference, people serving one another. And what a privilege it is to serve those around us, both in the church and in our community. So as we come to you today, I do pray that your presence and your power would give us a peace, an understanding, and the feeling that you are in control, that you love us, and you have the very best in mind for us. We're thankful for that, Lord, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So let's thank everybody leading us today. Alondra, awesome. Thank you. You can welcome one another as you would like to. And I appreciate you wearing masks for a little while longer. I'm like you. I'm looking forward to the time when we get back to no masks and no plexiglass. If you are with us on live stream, I'd encourage you to join the chat that's taking place. I do have some announcements for all of us. We're going to start Next Steps. That'll be starting next Sunday. The key is to take the next step. Which of these steps that you can take will address some of your questions, your opportunity to grow in your faith. Step one is about discovering Christian community. It's about Christ. It's about his church. It's some about our church, our unique vision and strategy. Step two is spiritual habits, prayer, Bible study, etc. The third step is finding out our shape for ministry, spiritual gift, heart passion, abilities and talents, personality and experience. When we look at all five of those at the same time, it's amazing how it directs us to our place to add into the lives of others and serve other people. Four is about your own story. You're an expert at your own story. And God will use your story to communicate his love and his word to other people. And so step four, led by Rick Dietzman, will help you formulate your story and talk with you about the mission that God has for you as we as a church are on a mission. Step five is biblical financial guidelines. What does the Bible say about your use of your money? How do you do that in a way that's honoring to God and also works well when you look at the bottom line of your bank account every week? So sign up with this sheet and give it to an usher on the way out. You can sign up online. You can call the church office and we can sign you up online or through the phone line come Monday morning. So we still have lots going on in terms of Bible studies, and we're up to speed with all the activities. Guys, you got a great opportunity on Tuesday night. Ladies, a great opportunity on Tuesday morning to be a part of women's only and men's only experience. So I invite you to get involved and find your place. Today, our elder of congregational life, she is our party elder, Christy Paris, is going to read our scripture passage for us.
I can't wait to throw a party, let me tell you. Good morning, church. Today I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, and chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?
Thank you, Christy. So today we're going back. We're back together. We're going back to the future. We're going to look at the promises of God, what the Bible has to say about our future. Now, I know right now we're all a little skeptical about looking forward, about perhaps hoping too much because, well, we might find ourselves again in the same place we are in a few more months or in a year. And I want you to know I've been studying the Bible, and I know how the story ends. In Jesus Christ, we win. We win. We will spend eternity together in the glory of God and in the presence of Jesus Christ. It will be awesome. And I want us to think that far in the future, but I also want us to talk a little bit about why we ought to be reassured and less skeptical as we get back to the future. Let's look at God's word. Verse 13 of our scripture passage, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes. Now, there's a few facts that we can use as a foundation laid that will allow us, I think, with hope, with the idea that we will succeed, that we can look forward. And one of those foundational things is that God is aware of everything. God is aware of everything that goes on. He's aware of everything that happens in our world, and he is aware of everything that happens around us and to us. Psalm 139:16, the days allotted to me had all been recorded in the book before any of them ever began. Ooh, David believes in predestination, doesn't he? It's right here. God knows. God knows everything that's going on in our world. God knows everything that's going on in our own personal world. And God is not surprised by what you do, what I do, or what anyone else does. We get surprised because we don't know. But God knows. And God wants us to know that he knows what's happening, and he is very concerned about us, and that he is working things out for better as we seek to love him, as we seek to live according to his purpose. God knows everything, and his plans, his work are always good. Jeremiah 29:11. Hang on to this one at this time in COVID. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, God has a good plan for you, a good plan for me, a good plan for us. Here's the great thing about our God. Our God never has bad plans for any person. God does not have bad plans for any person. He has good plans for us, and yes, there are times when we don't cooperate very well. There are times when we fall away or walk away. But God does have a plan for us, and it's good. It's good today. It's good tomorrow. It's good in days and weeks and months and years ahead. And like the prophet Jeremiah says, it's a good plan. He wants us to succeed. He doesn't want us to fail. So God is aware of everything. His plans are good. So now it's up to us. Another foundational thing is God promises that he will bless us when we trust and obey him. We have to decide to do that. We have to decide to do that initially by asking Jesus to be the leader of our life. It's a choice, and then it's a choice that we make every day, over and over and over again, to trust and obey God. Deuteronomy 30:19. Today I give you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curse. Choose life. Then you and your children will live. God wants us to choose him, and we do need to choose him each and every day. In fact, as we go through a pretty busy week or a busy day, it's a moment-by-moment choice that we make. Choose to follow Jesus. Choosing to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it's true, we are imperfect human beings, but just because there's imperfection, just because evil will cross our path, it doesn't mean that God isn't doing good things. It doesn't mean that God has turned his back on us. And in fact, it's a great thing for us to get our arms around the fact that, yes, you could very well be right on the path that God has in store for you, and bad things happen to you. God is not the author of evil or bad, but God has allowed. And God does have a plan to move us forward, even in those difficult and challenging times, even when we err or we sin. No, a foundational truth is that we need to trust and obey. Like the hymn says, there's really no other good way than to live a life where we're trusting and we're obeying Jesus Christ. So that's kind of the foundation. Now let's build a little on top of that. Let's build a life on top of that. Here are some promises that I think you could take to the bank. Firm promises that will help us each and every day, especially as we find ourselves in the midst of, well, let's say, very challenging times. Number one, God says that he will guide us, and he does that really well when we're confused and we're not sure which way to move forward. What's the best way to move forward? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. That's a great way to put it, by the way. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. Now notice, we have to choose God's way, again, not relying on our own way. And we know a lot about a lot of things. You're a very smart congregation, a very well-educated congregation. And you know a lot of things, and it doesn't mean you can't rely on your experience, what you've been taught, how you've lived. Yes, but there's a higher wisdom that is being talked about here. And that higher wisdom is God's will, and that comes from this very high divine perspective. His ways are higher than our ways. Therefore, his perspective is broader than our perspective. And from that vantage point, God can guide us. He can tell us which path to take in the confusing and the trying times. And here's what he says he will do. He will move us to the problem or the trying time through that trouble and trying time, and we will get to the other side. Remember, I've read the back of the book. I know how it all ends. We win. You win. And yes, some days we are three steps forward and two steps back. But in the end, if we're really trusting and relying upon God and his word, if we're waking up each morning and we are intending to set ourselves on God's path, then it's amazing how we are able to move forward no matter what we face. Yeah, a great promise is God will guide us in confusing and trying times. And aren't we in some of those, one of those? A second thing that God promises us in his word is that he will support us in our times of trouble. When you go through the deep waters and you have great trouble, I will be with you. I am the Lord your God. Isaiah 43. Verse 13, it's great. Remember, God is always with you. No matter how deep the water gets, no matter how much trouble there is around us, a sense of conflict and turmoil inside of us, God is still with us. And it is oftentimes in those troubling times we feel around for God, and you know what? We can feel his presence. We can sense his presence and his support in our times of trouble. Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Now, I'm like you. I know that that's true, but sometimes I'm weary enough. It's like, I don't know if there's enough power to empower me right now. I've been running hard, and I've been dealing with a lot of things. And we do kind of get to the end of our rope. We get exasperated. We just want the trouble to go away. But yet the trouble doesn't immediately go away. And it's up to us to get ourselves on that path and allow God to support us, empower us, and lead us. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses my inner strength into me. God is always infusing power in us. And I believe that he does that as we practice spiritual habits, as we find ourselves serving, supporting and encouraging other people, looking at each day as an opportunity and not the trial or problem or difficulty that it's been. Because a changed attitude, well, it changes everything, doesn't it? Even though our circumstances don't change, our attitude about our circumstances change. And it's amazing how that enlivens us, gives us a sense of hope for the future. Yeah, God's there. God guides us. God supports us in trouble. Another great foundation is as we're moving forward and we're looking at our resources, time, talent, treasure, and touch, as we look to serve him and we do that with generosity, it's amazing how God blesses us, how God rewards us. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love for him by helping his people, as you continue to do. You are helping the people around you. We're helping people, serving people inside the church as well as outside the church. In fact, virtually every day, okay, at least every other day, some opportunity comes into the front office, is communicated to the front office on how someone could use some service or some help. And what is awesome is you've responded to that call, that opportunity. Oh, by the way, there's an opportunity list in your bulletin. We have opportunity today, we'll have opportunity tomorrow, we'll have opportunity every month, every year we live on this planet. And it's true that this service is unto another human being, but it is really unto the call of God. It's a natural and logical consequence of our dedication to him. Our desire to worship him, trust him, be obedient to him. And of course, we want to do that with great generosity. Luke 16:9. Jesus says, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. And the idea is make friends for eternity. I have mentioned several times that when you die and go to heaven, there's only two things you're taking with you. You're going to take your personal character, and God is developing our character in this world for the next world, and you will take everyone with you that you've influenced into eternity. And so this is a call to first and foremost spend your money on eternal things. And That's not usually how we spend our money. This is encouraging us to see that God has given us resources, time, talent, treasure, and touch. And we have a future call, a present call, a great commission that we're called to go and use those resources in a way that influences people in a positive direction towards Christ. Now, we don't get the privilege of leading everyone to Jesus Christ personally, but it's oftentimes the end result of lots of effort by many different Christians that will move a person from where they are to Jesus Christ. And here God says, oh, I'm watching. But one day you'll know just how many people you influenced into eternity. How many eternal destinations that you've changed from hell to heaven. It's a great promise. God has chosen you to do his service, to expand and enrich his kingdom. And that happens not only through service, but it happens when we serve in a great way, in a very generous way. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. Now, I wish I knew what that reward was. My job would be so much easier if the Bible just detailed all the benefits, all the rewards of serving generously. Now, I know there's some people that think God's keeping score and everything has to do with what my earthly score, that'll make a difference when I get to my celestial home. And I'd like to think that, well, we get a bigger home and a better this, and yes, there will be rewards. Yes, God is watching. Yes, I think it will make it a little easier when we have that one-on-one conversation with Jesus, where he asks us, what did you do with what I gave you? If we are generous with our time, talent, treasure, and touch, and we invest that in the expansion and the enrichment of the kingdom of God in the life of a person, that is a win, win, win. It's a win for that person, it's a win for us, it's a win for the Christian community, for the family of God. And although things up ahead don't look all that open and free and ideal, it doesn't mean that we should become stingy with our time, talent, treasure, and touch. And I am thankful that you're not, that you've been very generous during COVID. And I just want to continue to be who you are, because God does want to reward you. God does want to bless you in that, not only in the future, but I believe he blesses us and rewards us right now. A final promise and truth is that God will keep us safe to eternity. He wants to keep us saved. He wants us to know that we will enter eternity. John 10:28. Jesus said, I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hands. Now here, you may die, but you're not going to perish. In fact, I have news for you. We're all terminal. We're all going to die before we go to eternity. And that this verse is reminding us that God doesn't take things back from us. Our salvation is a gift that God gives us in Jesus Christ. And we should not worry that somehow God's going to come back and say, okay, I want that salvation back. You haven't been perfect. Right? If I had that conversation with God, I'd say, you've been around me my whole life. Are you surprised? Aren't I doing better? No, I'm not perfect. But see, we can have an assurance God does save us for eternity. And even though things are full of troubles and trials and trying times and confusing times, that's one thing we really don't need to worry about. Because when we ask Jesus Christ to be the leader of our life, the Holy Spirit enters us. And that spirit is not a spirit of timidity, is it? No, it's a spirit of boldness. It's a spirit of hopefulness in the future, even if the present looks terrible. Philippians 1:6, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The day of Christ Jesus. Evil will not snatch you out of the hands of God. Oh, evil's tough. Evil's bad. Evil's very influential. In fact, evil is very persuasive to us. But yet God has given us power over our temptations. And he should know because he faced every temptation, every human temptation. And he declares that he's overcome the world, and the cross declares that he's overcome the world for us so that we can spend eternity with him. Yeah, I'm like you. It's a little hard to look all that optimistically to the future. And I have to remind myself, God's not surprised. He knows everything. Everything about me, everything about everybody, everything about this world. I know that our good God wants good things to happen. Good things to happen in us and through us. God has a good plan for us. And yes, that is being tested, and I believe it will be tested in the future. I think for a while things are not going to get easier on one side or another. And so we need to remind ourselves that God will take care of all of that. What we have to take care of is us. And we have to trust and obey him. And that's the linchpin, isn't it? Choosing Christ, but then choosing Christ every day. And when we do, he guides us. He supports us, he rewards us, and he keeps us in our salvation towards eternity. Let's pray together. Lord, you know we are in continually trying times, and we're at times just a guess of what is going on in the world. We're even flummoxed about our own world in certain moments. But Lord, we know this, that your way is true and right and good. We know that even if evil comes our way, trouble comes our way, things get a little confusing, we get off the path, you're so good at forgiving our sin and using the Spirit to guide us back onto your path. Lord, help us to hang on to you as you hang on to us. I do pray, Lord, you would remind us over and over again that what is up ahead is eternity. and that you have plans for us, not only eternally, but in each and every moment of each and every day. And those plans are good plans, that you want us to be successful. And instead of being overwhelmed, Lord, allow us to buoy up through your spirit above the confusion, the trouble. Lord, thanks for being a God who accepts us, who loves us unconditionally, who walks with us each and every day. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing. We'll close with this song today. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. That stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not heal, shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom. we do say praise forever to the King of Kings. Lord Jesus, we give you the honor and the glory today. We thank you that you are with us and that you go before us as we go out this week. Lord, I pray you will bless this church, that you will empower us to do your will and to love our community and to just continue to put our hope in you every day, for you are worthy, Jesus. We thank you and we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. We'll see you next Sunday.